He must.
We are in for a wild night. We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to episode 163 of Born to be Wild, a wild and wild adjacent Hearthstone podcast, where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the wild format of Hearthstone, and spotlighting members of the wild community. I am your host tonight, Hygelisk, and I am here with two of my best buddies, Shmoopy Daddy. How are you doing?
I've been better.
Oh.
We'll outline later in the show.
Yeah, I feel like maybe you're going to want to tell us a little more about that. So we'll save it. We'll save it. How are you doing? How are you doing, East Sheep City? How are you doing today?
Meowdy friends, I'm doing fantastic. Also for reasons that we will discuss later in the show. So in a massive twist, we are not going to spend an altogether long time in this part. But of course, I would be remiss if I didn't say, Hydra, how are you this week?
You know, I'm doing kind of good, but I've got a bit of a gripe, but Shmoopy's got a bigger one, so I don't think I can complain as much. So I'm doing okay. I think I'm doing okay.
Well, that is better than the alternative. The alternative being, like, not okay. So for those of you...
Call back to the pre-show for those of you not hanging out, you nerds.
So for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how this show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs, and the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all the podcast apps. So however you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis, this podcast today, thank you. Yes, you. And if you do, in fact, join us live, you will get a lot of the in jokes like not okay. Shmoopy, tell us about some different stuff and things.
Yes, of course. Content plug. Okay, before we get into the main show topic of the show tonight, I'd like to say a quick thank you to Shokunin and the other patrons of our show. Your support means the world to us. If you enjoy this content, please like, subscribe, and comment on this video on YouTube. Another simple way to support the show is to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your podcast platform of choice. If you are watching live on Twitch, we've got some awesome emotes that you can unlock by subscribing to the channel. This is free if you use Amazon Prime. There are also emotes you can unlock completely free just for following. And let's not forget my merch. And by my merch, I mean my wife in merch, modeling for us, okay? It's a great thing she doesn't listen back to every podcast because I would totally get destroyed for that. We have a link in our...
My wife used to listen all the time.
Oh, it's sweet, right? It's adorable when it happens. But it's
I've got you beat. My wife has never listened.
Unlucky. Unlucky sheep. We love you. We listen, sheep. So we'll include in the show notes, we have included a link to the shop from our main website. If you want to find merch there, you can go to the main website. You can also... support us on Patreon for as little as $1 per month. If you're interested in interacting with us personally, please join our Discord, a free and amazing online community of friends all across the world who are talking about Wild Hearthstone. Links to all this stuff can be found on our website, which is www.borntobewildhs.com. And last but not least, we have to talk funny usernames, right? We have to talk funny usernames. So this week's episode is dedicated to Sultan of Swag, Deadly Kitten, Warrior, who was playing Paladin, Wikipedia, Dwarf, who played against Goliath the Dwarf, Money and Time, Goat Wizard, Taylor Swift, who beat me with 1 HP yesterday in Twist. I was so pissed. Oh. And Super Pants.
I'm going to have to check to see if I had beaten Taylor Swift or not. I don't remember. This, maybe I redeemed you. I'm not sure.
Oh, I was, I mean, I think it might've been after the fact. Anyway. Yeah, anyway.
We'll get
anyway.
That,
right? What a Taylor twist. So.
Okay.
That time you did clip.
Okay, good. Good.
That was appropriate. So, Hydra, how was your week, bud?
Yo, so my week started off the same as it did like the last like 2 weeks since Diablo 4 has been out, and been, you know, jam a lot of that. And then, you know, they announced this whole twist thing, and I was like, well, that's pretty cool. And then I saw that we're only gonna have like 4 days to play it based on whatever star bonus you get, and I was like, that's kind of messed up. Maybe I'll be okay, right? So I didn't know how it was going to work, and I don't think most people did, but I guess they based it on, you know, your wild MMR, and luckily enough, I hit legend in wild, so they gave me the 10x.
Shmoopy can, in fact, clarify.
Clarify. It is, I believe, your current live MMR not taking into account your achievements.
Not taking into account achievements, rank, anything like that. Just your current wild MMR.
Oh, no way.
That's what we've been able to suss out. Because people like Raffle have gotten 5x and stuff.
Yeah.
And other people have gotten different star bonuses. So,
but MMR, that is a story for later.
Matchmaking rating, matchmaking ranking. That's what when we say MMR, that's what we're talking about. Basically, like, there's like a number that, like, based on how much you win or lose, that goes up or goes down, and you are matched up with people with a similar number to you. So when we talk about MMR, that's what we're talking about. Great.
Yes.
Question, Goliath the Dwarf. That's a good clarification to make.
Like, if you want to think about it in BGs wise, they kind of show you the number. We don't see the number in Constructed. Right.
Yeah, we kind of sort of do in kind of like a hint. And that's kind of at the very end or beginning rather of a season. You get your MMR particularly. So how it typically is shown is like your different achievements, like Shmoopy was mentioning before. So if you hit, you know, like bronze 5, then you have the 2x, etc., all the way up to legend at 10, and then high legend, which is where the background MMR comes into play, is where you get 11. So, you know, you can hit legend but have a terrible matchmaking rating, but because of that, you'll still have the 10 stars because of your achievements. And, you know, you'll still be matchmade into other people in the same pool. It's just kind of essentially how Hearthstone has ranked your prowess at that particular mode.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently I was okay enough to get the second highest one, right? So there's like the 11x and I was given the 10x. So thank you, Team 5, for setting it up that way that I was getting that. And I, like you said, Raffle and other people, like, not exactly getting that based on how they play, right? Like Raffle plays a lot of meme decks and that sort of thing, so I totally understand why it wouldn't work out that way. But I ended up with the 10x, so I was pretty stoked about that. But also, like, weeknights for me, you give us 4 days to hit legend starting on a Tuesday,
yeah.
Right, so anyway, needless to say, today's the last day, right? So as soon as this show ends,
there's 6 hours. I'm not counting.
I'm going to be jamming games. I started off playing the Outcast Demon Hunter, and I was doing amazing. In fact, the first, I went like 6-7-0, like right at the beginning, and I was like, this deck's awesome. But then I started to notice some inconsistencies, right? So I switched off yesterday. I'm going to be playing some Druid, but the climb is going slower than I would like, and I don't know how much we want to talk meta yet. We'll get into that maybe in a little bit, but almost every match is the same, I swear, at this point. There's so many Druids and Outcast Demon Hunter and Mage. Sometimes there's pure Paladin, but I'm pretty happy that I get the 10x, so I'm just going to grind some games after this, and, you know, hopefully I get super close. I don't know if I'll hit legend, and I don't even know if I'll get dinged for it, right? Like, so let's say I get to Diamond 5 tonight, which is the plan to minimum get to Diamond 5. I don't know if that will just give me the 9x next month, or they'll get forgive me and still get 10x.
So
as of midnight, I have no idea.
So it's definitely a lot more generous kind of in general. Jay Kierick in the Coin Cancene Discord said that he ended up with an 11x because he's in a different time zone, a different server. So he's already found out. He definitely didn't hit legend in Twist, but jumped up to 11x from wherever he was. He didn't have 10x. I want to say he had like...
Wait. How could he know where he's at? Because they don't get we all reset at the same time.
We don't all reset at the same time.
No, EU doesn't. EU's already reset.
Yeah, because he's on a different server.
Oh, snap. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
No, Twist, not snap.
Yeah, not snap. Wrong podcast. Right. Wrong night.
No, you're right. Okay, that is good to know.
Yeah.
I was thinking everybody in the world playing on NA. I'm like, how would you know?
Right. Yeah.
Reset? Is Asia already reset?
Asia would have reset like first thing
hours
this morning,
ago.
Then.
Yeah.
Like 8 a.m. Like 8 a.m. this morning.
Yeah. So like
forget about Asia though.
For example, Maxibon lives in the APAC region but plays on NA. And so he hasn't been reset yet because, like you said, it's about the server that you're on, not the specific time zone. But the time zone of the server is what.
Yeah, but my win rate with Demon Hunter is abysmal. Even though I've got
Demon Hunter's a hard deck. To be fair, Demon Hunter is a hard deck.
It is.
And so you can also
more
like
concerned.
You can also lose. No, but you can also lose just a draw order. You don't.
That's the thing. That's why I switched to Druid because, okay, so when I was playing that, Druid always does the thing, almost always, right? Like you could play the big dudes for cheap. Demon Hunter, you get to play the big dudes for cheap, but like the cards aren't always in the position in your hand that you want for them to do the outcast thing. So I feel like just Demon Hunter is like a conditional, you get your big dudes, and Druid is you just get your big dudes.
There's a I cannot read it because it's a family friendly podcast, but I had a little bit of a salt expunging last night at around 12 a.m. Around when I started jamming infinite games of Outcast DH or I'm going to call it Questline DH. The fact that you're calling it Outcast DH is actually triggering me. I know that's what Zacko called it earlier this week. I feel like Outcast DH is more of like a rushy non-quest type deck, but
I play cards that say Outcast on it. So
100%, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm the a-hole here if we're using Reddit terms,
Okay. Well, that's basically been my week. We can get into more of a discussion. I'm going to ask, Sheep, who I feel like his week's been a little better than mine. Sheep, how's your week going?
Yeah, so I also started with a 10x multiplier. So did that thing and started jamming some games. Tuesday came around, you know, when Twist released, and I was sick. Like, I was really sick. I mean, like, cold, not like really sick as in like life-threatening, but like definitely not work on work sick. So I jammed a lot of games of Twist, you know, on mobile primarily, you know, chilling in bed. And I ended up hitting legend on, was it Wednesday, Thursday? And peaked so far at 17. I'm now in the higher two digits, but I'm still in two digits still. I mean, I think that's all there are so far, but
it's
a blast. I've like actually been like queuing into and have a decent win rate against like some of the people in the single digits. And, you know, it's been really fun. I don't have a positive win rate against OTZ, but he and I played multiple times today in a row.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. What has not been super fun are the queue times in Legend. So my MMR, I think like right now I'm at like a 60 something, ranking. But my MMR is such that like right before the show, I had queued into Maxi, who was playing at number two. And so I have a decently high MMR. There was a time that like over my lunch break, I was like, hey, I'm going to be able to play a game. And I waited in the queue for half an hour.
Oh, what?
Is
my phone broken?
Well, that one I was on PC.
Okay.
So I stopped and then I started again. You know, it wasn't the disconnect bug where it then was like reconnecting or anything like that. But whenever I like re-queued, it was like 10 seconds and I had a match. So 30 minutes and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to even get to play a game. And then 10 seconds later, I was able to. So that was kind of funny. Nice. So I played a lot, particularly of Druid. Druid in particular in the early meta was really good. The high Legend meta has shifted a bit away from Druid and more towards a Shaman in particular is one of the big ones. And Priest is another one that I see a decent amount of.
I have seen that, yeah.
So still a lot of Demon Hunter. Just not a whole lot of Druid, so much anymore. I mean, you know, you still see an odd one here and there, but it's the exception to the rule. Whereas kind of coming up into Legend, it was like every third, second game, running into Druid. It is
I
a good deck.
I want to pull up my stats and it's like, look at the graph and see like the amount of Druids is through the roof, climbing at 10X.
Mm-hmm. And that was my experience too. I was one of them.
It feels like every second game, if not more than that.
Well, and part of that is your pocket meta, right? But part of that too is like when we're playing, you know, like a lot of my games like today and last night have been and that kind of like a higher MMR. So it could just be that that's gotten a little bit more away from Druid. Whereas that's not reflected in the rest of the ladder quite yet.
Go ahead. Keep talking.
Yeah. Go for it, Hydra.
Oh, I was just going to say, I pulled it up and it's more like a 1 in 3. So I have the biggest is actually Demon Hunter at 36%.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 40 game sample. I've got 36% Demon Hunter, 27% Druid. And then the next two big ones, I have 12% Mage and 12% Paladin.
Ooh.
And so those mages are like that, Flame Waker Dragon one. I don't know what you want to call that deck. I don't know what we're calling it.
Yeah,
Flame
Waker Dragon. You can call it
Drake Fire is what I've seen.
Drake Fire Mage. Yeah.
And then the Paladins were pure Paladins.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So it was actually it was actually more Demon Hunters than Druid. Yep. Anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Sheep.
No, I had just finished. You were totally good. That pretty well reflects mine. But I also see a lot of Shaman. And then of course I said Priest. I've seen like a handful of mages in the past like couple days. I don't think I saw like at all yesterday, and I saw like two today, and today was like a 40 game sample. So it's really interesting to see how the meta is different both at different times and at different places of the ladder. Shmoopy Daddy, are you in a place where you can talk about your yeah?
So my experience is a little bit different from you guys. I like we talked about, it was the rating was basically decided based off of live wild MMR, right? So whatever your MMR was in wild at that time, that decided what your star bonus was. And I had a great week. I 100%ed achievements for this set.
Hooray!
Earlier than expected. Hooray! Really good mood for that. Yeah, sheep, make it very large.
And oh, yeah.
Right in the middle of everybody's faces.
There we go.
And I did like the majority. I did them in wild, which is really cool. I just didn't care about my MMR. I literally found a bot in Silver 10 and got the ETC one done. It was just like, all right, well, like, you have to play Dirty Rats because you have to worry about them not playing cards and having a full hand. But I got there, right? And so I actually found like a Death Knight bot, get that done. And then I was playing goofy stuff. I was playing like, I was refining all sorts of jank. I was playing, I made a casino Death Knight. I was playing various kinds of degenerate druids that aren't good. Prestor Druid, wild Prestor Druid, if you remember Prestor Druid. I was playing that. I was doing all sorts of like just goofy stuff that I don't get to do early in an expansion because I'm usually sort of geared up for THL, and so I'm practicing and playing the meta decks. And generally, I enjoy early on the meta decks, but the meta is so stale at this point, and the mini set really did nothing except for, hey, now with more Secret Mage, you know, that just what you want for a game mode. So I was like, all right, great, Twist. I wasn't planning on being very big into Twist, but I was like, okay, here is something I can kind of throw my energy at as a player to sort of, I don't know, focus myself. And I still want to hit 400 on the rewards track, which means playing a lot of ladder. So if I'm not playing wild, let's play something wild adjacent. And it's grindable. Let's go. Let's do it. And then I got my star bonus. And I got, because this was a live wild MMR, I got a 2x star bonus.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I was like, okay, this is actually kind of cool. Let me see if I can hit legend from 2x and twist. This format is so cursed to try and hit legend with a 2x bonus. There are times where I've never been so tilted in my life and very, yes, just plug the, no, just throw that over my face so that I can play more twist off camera. I've never been so tilted in my life playing, because this is like an opportunity that you don't have all the time, right? This is just like, this is a unique opportunity. I was just like, all right, challenge accepted. Let's knock this out. I got up to diamond 4-1 star today, and then deck tech knocked me down a star, and I've been falling ever since. I've played I mean this seriously. I have probably played more twist games number than I'm going to say 90% of the population.
Oh,
you've hit legend.
You just said diamond
or not hit legend.
You got up to?
I'm at diamond 5 no stars right now, so let's not toot my own horn. Still, but yes, I've gotten up to diamond 5 from a 2-star bonus.
Two-star bonus. So let's everyone remember that ran out once you hit, like, silver 5. Then you would
diamond 5. Bronze 5. Bronze 5, I ran out of star bonus.
Bronze 5, you ran out of star bonus. So you've been getting one win, one star.
Unless
since
bonus, unless on a win streak,
you get win streaks. Sometimes you win and get 2 stars.
Yeah, that's
so basically you're playing double. Old ladder. You're playing old ladder, and I'm so sorry.
I'm not mentally well. A lot of the jokes pre-show have been my state of mind, and if like the intro is me singing the intro, that's a great reason why.
Uh-huh.
Can I tell you one thing that make you feel somewhat better? You have hit, you got to D5.
That's true.
Tomorrow you are guaranteed a 9x. Tomorrow.
Whenever they open it up again, right? They're not gonna open it up right away.
July it's just like a regular month.
Because
the format's like, staying the exact same.
They're shutting it down, and then they're balancing it, releasing it back.
No.
Tomorrow, you have 9 stars, guaranteed. 9 stars tomorrow, because you hit D5.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an unwaking nightmare. I'm not playing this format anymore after that. After some tomorrow, I'll wait for till they balance it. Now, I'm kidding a little bit, but like I'm also kind of serious. I don't know if I want to try.
But also, your experience might be different, like outside of the MMR that you're facing. If you're if you're bumped up into like 10 or 11,
true.
You might that's experience true. A different ladder, because since it is such a new mode. People are experiencing it in such different ways.
Yeah, and I can speak to that. So because I have my pulse on, you know me, I have my pulse on metas. I know what's going on. Okay. How they did the MMR this month, how they chose your star bonus. Well, let me put it this way in perspective. It did the mode no favors because all the wild players immediately got boosted. So the wild players were basically already, you know, 10x, 11x players. They got boosted ahead of all the standard players. And so instead of looking at a legend race based off of everybody being at the same place, starting from the same place, and then racing to legend, it was almost like, well, you know, wild gets a free pass here. And so while I love Martian put out a statement basically about he got the first rank one, the first wild legend on NA, and I can't think of anybody better to get it, but he got it and he had to almost be like, his statement started with wild stay winning, just kidding. Like as almost like an apology that he was put in the position to be the one to get the first wild legend. And he outlined it in his statement where he said, I wanted to like stream and experiment and goof off and do silly things. And with an 11x, all my opponents were questline druids. All my opponents were questline DHs day one. I had no choice. I just picked the best deck. I took questline. I took questline druid in the early meta, and I brought it to legend. And like, that's true. That worked. That's great. So that did Wild no favors because like Wild players immediately got boosted, which I think as far as the community goes, just left a bad taste in the mouth of standard BGs players who were just like, let's try this new mode. Let's use it for content. And then they're logging in, they're getting 7, 6X and they're like, I can't win the race. I can't do the race. So it left with a bad feeling in a lot of people's mouths. And like, honestly, 2X, I'm out of my mind right now. I've probably been incredibly unhappy. But I there's something wrong with me. I've enjoyed it because I've enjoyed in a sick way the grind that like I am feeling the most intense experience anybody can feel trying to attack this mode. So when I see Clark Hellscream say like, I got 7X this month, I have 95 games, I'm not in Legend yet, if I had 11X, I would have hit Legend twice now. Well, I'm kind of like, Clark, hold my beer.
Well,
and Clark's friend of the show, so like, I don't want to dish him too much, but it's just like, no, you're not, but he's not wrong. Right?
Well, he's not
everybody at the same level.
They should have, and he's not wrong, but also, if he had like the 10X, like if it did like some sort of average to, you know, make up your multiplier and he was like having the fair, you know, matchmaking for his skill, would he have had the same win rate? Now with 95 games, he still probably would have gotten there. Like I'm not trying to say he wouldn't have, right? But his win rate would have been different. And that's not saying that, you know, he's not a good player because he's a great player. But if he's a great player playing against people who are, you know, engaging with the mode for fun, he's going to have a higher win rate. Whereas if I'm being match made into tryhards, it's going to be different.
Okay. Devil's advocate.
Yes.
Devil's advocate. Okay. I saw way more experimentation than you guys did. And I think I saw way more innovation than you guys did. Those of you who were at like 10X, 11X and got up. Because there's some people who had nothing to lose. They're like, yeah, screw it. I want to counter Questline Demon Hunter. I'll counter Questline Demon Hunter. And this is the problem that Questline Demon Hunter has in Wild as well. Where it's a really, really, really good deck.
Yeah.
But it's really polarized. And you can target it. It doesn't like taunt. It doesn't like heal. It doesn't like armor. I still don't know how warrior wins in this format. So I won't get into how, like, there's some people who have hit like twist legend with warrior. I don't know how. You are saints of Hearthstone. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how you did it. Right. But for me, like something like pure Libram Paladin is probably a 30-70 matchup for the Druid. Like you can get there, but they have so many tools and their list is built to beat you.
Yeah.
And now it loses to other things.
Oh yeah.
But it wants to beat you. And so there are people lower down the ladder, and it does. And there are people lower on the down the ladder. They're just like, screw it. I want to beat you. And so you get targeted. So playing Questline Druid was not an option for me.
Mm.
I actually had the most success for a brief period of time playing Drake Fire Mage because it's kind of like, it's almost solitaire-esque where it's like, okay, I play my cards, I find my flow, I discount my stuff, and like I blow up jank. And like anything board blast based, I blow up. My toughest matchup, number one, is Questline Demon Hunter, which is a popular deck and a good deck. So like, okay, not doing great into that. It's probably like a, when I'm playing Mage, it's a 1090 deck. It's a 1090 matchup. When I'm playing Demon Hunter, it's like a 30-70 matchup. Mm. So it's probably a 40-60 and I'm throwing. But in any case, it's not a good matchup. And they kind of, and like Glide and Mana Burn just farm the Mage.
Yeah.
But it blows up a lot of board-based stuff. And then you've got Questline Demon Hunter, which feels like it has probably the most neutral matchup spread across the field. Like, it has the early stat dump. It has Glide, so you can actually interfere with the opponent's hand. So if you don't like the cards that they have and you need different cards or what have you, like, you do that. So I played that up to Diamond 4. But it's a hard deck to play. Chief, you were saying you think there's a better best deck, though, as far as the twist meta goes.
I do. And I think so that deck is Questline Shaman. Super fun. Interacts really well against the very druids that you were seeing. It is a very good deck. It's winnable as the druid if you like know that you're playing against Questline Shaman and you know like to keep your rake so that you can kill the Glug whenever that comes out, etc. But like you have to know the matchup.
Sometimes it just comes down.
Sometimes
like,
it does.
Like they have three mana, one card in hand, and like they just drop a Glug and it's just like died.
Yeah.
Actually, and like, that one game last night where I said I was gonna try your deck, it ended up being against the Shaman and I won. So there you
go. Yeah.
It has so many frustrating ways of like pulling damage out of its butt or like making taunts or like healing.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of different like little tools. And like Drake Fire Mage is pretty decent into it because as long as you can. Now, what's interesting about the Shaman is the Shaman plays like Jam Session and other cards where it can apply damage early, at least the versions that I've played against.
Mm-hmm.
So you almost have to, like, you can't feel safe at 20 health if you're the mage because they can very easily burst you down so that your alibis mean nothing. So you almost have to play, like, very proactive defense, hope that their overload slows them down enough that then you can do your thing and knock them out, which may happen or may not happen. But stats-wise, like Drakefire Mage is a tier 4 deck that I feel like is in the front of people's consciousness because it's very flashy when you lose. And so people are like also playing against that. So I see a lot of Demon Hunters, possibly because DH is good and possibly because it's like, well, I don't want to lose to Drake Fire Mage. So I'm going to play DH. I'm just going to farm him, which is part of the reason why I picked up DH, right? So I'm in my manic stage. So I apologize if I talk so much. It's going to happen.
We're on a podcast. That's what we're supposed to do here. You're good, bud.
So I'm frothing at the mouth. I'm at five. Right now I'm at D5, no stars. I may hit tonight. I may not hit tonight. I don't know. I gave Twist my best shot.
And you will at least have a 9-star multiplier tomorrow. At least.
You wake up tomorrow with 9 stars.
Awesome.
Also, yep. I have If you've been playing on 2X, your win rate, I don't want to get your hopes up, but your win rate could give you a 10X. I'm not kidding you. I have gotten 10X before based on win rate alone and not hitting legend. It's possible.
Hydra, not my win rate.
If you guys are listening to this episode, please go to YouTube and, or to twitch.tv/boardwhs and watch the VOD. You got to see this guy's face right now.
this is easily the most unhinged I've been on this podcast at any point in time. Easily. This smashes top five. This is number one. Like I got the go ahead from my wife. My wife loves me so much. I got the go ahead from my wife to stay up until reset to try and hit legend and twist. Like I'm sleeping in tomorrow, probably to 8:30 my time. When's the ladder reset? Like 3 in the morning
your time. Yep. 3
for you.
Yeah. So we'll probably reset, and then it'll be like, okay, time to hit day one legend and wild. And then honestly, as much as I have mixed feelings about this, and I've played too much twist. I do have to say this about the mode. It's not, and this is a clarification, because there are some people who are not as connected as us, and like there are people who might be listening to the podcast for the first time. This is not the mode forever and ever. Like this mode is ever going to be ever changing, and there's going to be new iterations, and there's going to be new metas. And so, like, if you don't like this meta, sit it out. It's fine. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Come back the next one. Try it again. See if it's more your speed. Maybe try it, like, give it some time to, like, you know, breathe. Because I've seen this meta kind of develop where, like you said, Sheep, you're saying, oh, I'm seeing more priests now. It's like, yeah, I watched that in real time grow in the lower ranks, and then people were trying it higher up, and sometimes it filters out. And often stuff filters down from the top down. But I feel like sometimes stuff goes from the bottom up. And because we had so many standard players with a low multiplier, like it's actually weird. Some of my toughest earned ranks felt like I was like day two in gold, because I felt like I was playing against standard players who knew their deck.
Right.
Yeah. And they were playing like the most twist version of their deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing Druid. So my number of
sorry, I must interrupt with a pun. You're playing Druid.
Druid. I'm playing Druid, which works because it's like yet another button deck, right? Like I'm just drawing myself to button decks.
It's great.
So I'm playing Druid, right? I don't have a whole lot of
that
lateral
needs to be
play.
A new Druid hero.
Druid. So I don't have a whole lot of lateral play with my deck. There's not a ton, like there's a decent amount of scam in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was playing a version that had a resizing pouch and that had a planted evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So I was playing like the most scammy version possible.
I think those are core. Resizing pouch,
really?
Planted evidence, and nature's whatever, the one drop that discounts your next
for a hot minute in your list. Do you play with aquatic forms, or you don't play with aquatic forms?
Yeah. Yeah, I play with aquatic forms.
You changed your list a bunch then.
No. Okay. This is the one that I played like most of the legend climb. I don't run like Innervate.
Discord.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No. Innervate's trash. Might as well just run studies.
Right.
Innervate is trash.
Nature studies.
Like. Yeah. If you're playing the wild version, you don't run Innervate. Like Innervate is garbage. You run nature studies if you're going to run it in wild too.
Yeah.
A lot of times you get two ticks on your owl that way. Like I just for people at home again who are like, well, why does Innervate suck? Well, because Innervate like situationally gains you one mana, whereas if you top deck an Innervate late on, like you're it's a dead draw. Top deck a Nature Studies late on, it's like maybe I scam my way out of this. So you always run Nature Studies over.
Definitely.
No. Yeah. The version you ran didn't have aquatic forms in it. Were you running like the basic B version?
I don't know what the basic B version is because I mean I built this one just
how many. Oh, okay. How many
I run.
Are you running any of the three mana two fours?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't run Oracle of Alun. I run double Feral Spirits and double I run those. But the other three mana gain four attack if it's
Sheep, I think there's too many cards in your deck. There's a card that you think is in there that's not in there. I don't probably. Think you run Aquatic Form.
No, I definitely run Aquatic Form.
I think you don't.
I guarantee you I do.
I'll so pull I was it up. At it's your okay. I'm just he got Aquatic Form, right? He got Aquatic Form. I need to Aquatic Form. Anyway,
you know what? Can I make one complaint about the lists in general?
Yes.
Is that when I copy past a twist list into my client, Hearthstone, can you please let me queue it up instead of having to convert it to twist if it's technically a wild deck? Like, that is so, like, what, like, do you copy and paste it from Twitter or HS Top Decks or wherever you get it from, Hearthstone, out of cards? Just let me use it. Right, like it, at least I understand that I can click the button and convert it, but somebody else might not. Like, it needs to be way more intuitive than that. Than saying this deck is illegal for this format, right? Like, when it actually is legal for the format, like just let it work. That part for like, me is
like queuing up a standard deck into wild. Like, if it's legal, just like, let it work.
Maybe they don't want people to. I don't know, but like, come on, just. Let it work. It is legal in the format. Let me use it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I mean, if they were worried about it being a safeguard for if you, you know, make a wild deck and accidentally queue it into twist, like standard works in wild. So I guess it's probably more of a coding of whether something can be in or not.
It's brand new buggy.
Right? Yeah.
It's just
it's built differently.
But yeah, let me do the thing. That's all.
That's fair. That's fair. I have other gripes.
Oh, meanwhile, I've been having a blast.
I'm just gonna do my last little, and I Sheeps put in the DM like his actual list, and yes, it has Aquatic Forms. It's not the one you posted in Discord, and if it is, and I'm mistaken, I can't read. I play wild. So I'm willing to be wrong. I'm willing to be wrong and accept it gracefully, in my own stupidity. But this, I don't know, man. I'm really gonna try hard to hit legend. If I don't hit legend, I hope there are more fun twist metas than this. That being said, whether this meta is like, let's say this meta is like the middle of the road, and like there are worse metas and there are better metas, and this is like the middle of the road. This would easily be my second game mode after I hit Legend and Wild. Mm-hmm. Like, if I hit Legend and Wild, there's a solid week where it's like, yeah, okay, you can play Wild, but, like, the environment is a certain way where it's like, okay, you can counter queue aggro if you're at a low enough MMR, where it's like, okay, the bots have hit Legend, the good aggro players have hit Legend and have no idea what else the hell to play, so they're just going to keep playing aggro. So you can play, like, some fun, like, anti-aggro decks and kind of mess with them for a while. But it's for a whole week, and like I'd rather grind this for a whole week because the queue times are shorter and it's wild light, so like I like that. I think that there was a little snafu as far as assigning the MMRs. I think that didn't work right.
100%. Like,
I feel like if they just told us what was going to happen, maybe like a month before, people could have prepared.
I may not have dumpstered as hard. Then again, I might have done it anyway and just been like screw it. Let's see.
As long as we knew, right? Like, I stumbled into a 10X, right? Like, you didn't know, right? Like, you get legend every single month on the first day.
Like, I actually choose not to get 11X.
You should have at least the 10X, right? But the way you choose to play once you get to legend has... obviously which is stabbed fine. You which is in the fine. Butt.
But it's fine. But like, it doesn't do the wild community any favors that like players who don't treat who don't play wild are now introduced to a wild light mode and are kind of punished for not playing wild. Like, Like, no, give us all 2X. Give us all 2X. And like that way.
Oh, that would be great.
I'm okay with my 10.
Maybe they were worried. Maybe they're worried that just like, oh, people are going to be stuck at 2X and 4X and 3X. And Zeddy's going to make a video. And then like people are going to be pissed for months that they can't get a freaking bonus and twist. It's like, well, what if you just like start everybody at 2X and give everybody like a 5-star bonus at the end of the month 2, right? Be like, all right, bump everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
And then like if you're bumped up too high and you can't play twist, like, okay, maybe you lose some players that way because they're like, well, I'm at a level that's too high now. But like you're bumping everybody up.
And
so I don't know.
I think especially with this one only starting with 4 days, what a lot of this season should have been, and I think it is for the majority of people, is gauging where like your MMR should be for the multiplier next month, right? But the fact that it isn't starting everyone from zero initially, while the MMRs are going to be more malleable in the early time, I mean, that's just how MMR development works. Like, but like, why would it not all start at zero? That's what I don't get. Or start at the same point.
It's
more malleable, we should start at the same. Yeah.
Right? Like, it happens to be this time, like, yes, arguably the two best decks, especially when you look at stat-wise, like, Questline Druid is tier zero, if you look at the stats. I think when it comes to the actual play rate, because just, like, even if you're, like, playing against something like pure Librem Paladin, that's a hard counter to it. Like, Brute Force, you can Brute Force straight through the Librem Paladin sometimes.
I've gotten there before. I don't get there most of the time, but I've gotten there before.
No, but you can.
Yeah,
you can. Or like sheep, for example. I don't know if you never played against. Did you play in against like big beast hunters in this format?
Like maybe one.
Right. So that like standard, you know what I'm talking about, because you're a big standard player. That okay, we're doing monkeys and bananas early game, and then we're dropping a mountain bear late game. Like,
yeah, and okay, they can pull mountain bear now too. Yeah,
I can break through some of these things. I can't break through all of these things as the Bonk Druid, but like it's weird because Bonk Druid is one of these, like, it's one of these decks where it's tier zero, but it's not because it's so gosh darn polarized. And so like I think we're gonna have more of these metas going forwards, and I'm not gonna ramble anymore because we want to keep it a short episode, but yeah, I find the experience is both exhilarating and frustrating in equal measure. And I hope that this continues to be my second mode going forward. And thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep playing it well beyond just like this next season, which this next season, you know, the format staying the same. It's the end of July, whenever it all like it has the break for them to kind of tend to the mode to make it, you know, take the feedback from the beta, because this is beta at the end of the day. And I want to say that I've heard that it'll be back like later. I don't know if that's August, September, October. But I mean, since it's going down a bit after July, I guess it's not August, but September, October, it's coming back, but it's at least taking a break in between the two. So the format itself is fun. I personally am really enjoying this meta, but if I weren't, then it would change before too long. This is just the beta. We'll come back.
Yeah, like this thing is obviously, there seems to be the meta that's already there. We can see what it is. It can get annoying quite quickly. There's so many druids and demon hunters and whatnot, but like, the best part about this format is it's going to be ever changing, right? Like it could get stale, sure, for that season until they decide to change it for the next season. So like that's pretty cool. Like, to be honest, we've been in metas like as wild players who have had to deal with certain decks that were around forever. This is pretty neat, right? So if we want to be sick and tired of a meta for a month, that is no big deal. And you know what? Fish Rogue is like the prime example of how there are decks that like people don't think of, right? Like, do you remember Finja? Do you remember Finja Force 5 that came out like at the very end of a meta that like took the whole standard meta by storm? Like that
Rogue was great.
Yeah, like that's a thing, right? And so that can still happen. And if it doesn't,
I think once the people aren't thinking that they only have 4 days to try and attain a specific rank, there will be more experimentation throughout as well. I hit legend, right? Like I've been there for a little while. I've played some really bad decks too after hitting legend, because that's when I feel like I can experiment. Right. So I've played like Dude Paladin. That was a lot of fun.
It's actually not bad.
It's not competitive, but it's not bad. Yeah. Right?
Like it's okay. Those bubbles on 3-1 dudes are really annoying.
Oh yeah. Can confirm. So, having a whole month and not trying to cram a whole month's worth of both like ranking up as well as experimentation into 4 days, I think we'll see the meta itself vary and kind of stabilize to what I'm not going to say what we're used to, but whenever we have a brand new twist, like, yeah. I feel like having a whole month, some metas we'll see start out like this, where we have the very clear, like questline DH, questline druid, questline shaman quickly developing, but like initial polarized high win rate. But like we've got a whole month at least that I feel like we'll have different ebbs and flows to metas itself, which will be cool. Condensing that all into a month.
Can I also clarify that like this current meta is new age plus no neutrals,
right?
Like they're gonna bring back new age again, and like you're gonna be allowed to use neutrals. It's just there's gonna be some other twist that they're gonna put on it. So like I've seen some people be like, well, new every time they bring back new age is gonna suck. It's like, no, that's not really true either. It's just like this is right here, right now, this card catalog, right? New cards are gonna come out that are going to qualify for new age. So like the next set is gonna come, which I think is a great transition, because like we're eventually gonna come to a new set. And then we're gonna introduce those cards to the pool, and we'll even be able to use neutral cards. Are you gonna do the thing? Are we going to play the thing, or should I sing it? Because it's just like, it's that kind of mood tonight.
You know what? I'm going to let you sing it first.
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
And that also sounds like...
Welcome to the news. Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
And now I'm going to have to play it a third time because you were saying Nate over the whole thing.
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
So the news is so good. Hydra, take it away.
Well, apparently we have a new expansion, which did Goliath the Dwarf actually predict this, right? Like I think he was right on track. But, you know, we got some Titans.
Yeah, we do.
And you know what's the funniest thing about this entire thing for me is I've been playing so much Diablo that I didn't even buy the mini set before they announced the Titans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, like this to me is like, how did that happen so fast? And there's already like new cards coming in. I was blown away because I'm like, should I buy the mini set with my gold at this point? Because I have so much. Because normally I use money on it, right?
Yeah.
But not like that happened super fast. So yeah, Titans is Hearthstone's newest expansion, which is super crazy. That happened to me like way too fast. 145 brand new cards coming at you real fast. And how many do we have released so far? I know we've got a new keyword called Forge. So like the Titans and Keepers, you can hold the power of creation in your hands. Cards with the Forge keyword can be dragged over to your deck and upgraded into its new Forged form for two mana. Have you guys seen this in action? Like in the video?
Yeah.
I've seen it's like tradable, right? It's like you're like dragging it towards the deck and it activates and it goes back to your hand, right?
Exactly. And it looks like in the video that their opponent will know whenever you're forging a thing. So they'll know one of the cards in your hand.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting kind of wrinkle to that too.
Do they see what I mean, what we didn't need to know is, do they see what card it is, or they just see that you're forging?
And that I don't know yet. I believe the former.
So when we trade, but we've only seen it from the player's perspective.
Right? That's what I believe. But we've only seen it from the player's perspective, not the opponent's. So
no, but I'm saying, but at the very least,
we'll see that something is being forged in, you know, there'll be an animation, I'm sure, but like in the scroll, we'll have to know how they lost two mana, right?
I'm assuming because we see as the opponent what our opponent trades, like the card our opponent trades, we'll probably see what they forge.
I believe so.
Like following like what they've done so far.
Hearthstone logic would assume. However, it's also Hearthstone. Maybe it'll work the other way. also, y'all know what Magnetic is, but Magnetic is coming back with this expansion. So if you don't know what that is, that's basically when you stick a mech to the left of a mech that you already have, it attaches and gains all of its stats. So that also means that we're going to have a bunch of mechs, because why the heck would they introduce Magnetic again with a bunch of without mechs? So I love mechs. I do love mechs. And also they're kind of giving us, what is it, Ziliax and Diamond?
Yeah. So we get Diamond. Ziliax is one of the features, one of the things included in the larger of the two bundles.
Mega bundle.
That's the one. And he looks kicking rad there. Also looking kicking rad are the new signature cards. Those look really cool. I think that we're getting, so we know that all of the classes are going to have a Titan that'll be particularly relevant for kind of like the next news item. Because of that, all of the Titans are going to be our signature cards, is my understanding, which will be really cool. Like to have a signature of all of the different Titans. They all look incredible too.
They're more in the style of Festival than of March. They're more like colorful and full body and
So I don't know if you've had a chance to look at all of the Titans yet. My personal favorite so far is Voltron Prime for Rogue.
Yeah, agreed. Full agreed. I'm staring at it right now. And yeah, Voltron always. Nothing compares.
Yeah.
Should we save it for Goliath, or are we going to talk about the elephant in the room as far as like, what's a Titan? Like what, which, some of these are not Titans, guys.
Well, and I don't think that there are actually 11 like Titans in the the entire lore to build that. So I think that they've taken some liberties lore wise there, but I'm definitely far from a lore master. So I'm not sure the veracity of that. That's just my understanding.
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt.
No, you're good. We do, each class does have a Titan. So real quick, Amenthul for Priest, Sargeras the Destroyer for Warlock, Agamar the Avenger for Hunter. Goliath is probably making fun of my pronunciation for a couple of these. Ianar the Lifebinder for Druid, Khazgaroth for Warrior.
For Khazgaroth,
precisely. Norgannon for Mage, Golgannath the Thunderer for Shaman, Voltron Prime for Rogue, my buddy, Argus the Elemental Star for Demon Hunter, Amytus the Peacekeeper for Paladin, and the Primus for Death Knight.
So Fury was a race car driver. I kind of like that. The Death Knight one too.
Nice.
So my personal favorite is Voltron.
I feel like any of these, if they aren't actually Titans, like again, this can go under the umbrella of like drunk tavern goer. Starts like, oh, yeah, I know they're the tavern, the Titan for Rogue is Voltron. And it's like, yeah, all right, yeah, sure, sounds good, right?
Because he's
like,
so cool. How could he not be?
He's so cool, right? And you just run with that. And it's just like, all right, sounds good. But like again, tight. Goliath will go through like the actual technicalities, but I wanted to bring up because I've seen a lot of dialogue on like that person's not a Titan, and it's like, well, it's just like,
you know what? Yeah, the master will come in, and the master shall say, yeah. Yeah.
Hearthstone Brew thinks they are. That's all that matters.
you know what? That's right. I consider you a Titan in my tavern.
And thus, they are on board. So, part of knowing all of these Titans is that, of course, they are going to be released over the coming week. So, starting on Monday, we have releases like 10 and 11. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I think Friday is the final one.
From the 3rd to the 7th.
So all week next week.
We've got to wait till the 7th to get Voltron.
I know. But after they've revealed all of them, you get to choose your Titan. So from the whole roster, which we'll, I'm sure, be more familiar with than the brief blurb that they provide, which is, you know, really good context and lets you know going forward. But like once you see them doing their stuff and you're spending more time with them, like you'll know. That's why you have to wait until after the week to be able to choose your Titan to earn free packs. I already know who mine's going to be. I feel like there are a few good options. So I'm not just like, hey, mine's cool. They're going to win. I think there'll be a competition there, obviously.
It's so weird, though. Like, I thought for sure last time they did one of these and we had, what was it? It was Drekthar versus Vandar.
Yeah.
For sure the neutral call to arms was going to get, like one of those got nerfed, right? Like, one of those was a good card and the other one was, like, not. So, like, I assumed when I picked the card that I picked, I was just like, oh, everybody else picked this one. This is a shoe-in. And then we had Diamond Vandar, and then I had to pay for Diamond Drekthar, but I paid with gold, and then I got my gold back because, like, I picked the good card. So, like, I'm assuming the meta for this is going to be, like, I don't know if, like, the best card is going to be the, like, unless it's, like, absolutely jaw-dropping and inspiring. I don't know if the best card is going to win this one. I think it might be a popularity contest. So I'm going to play
Voltron.
I know, me personally, Voltron. You guys don't have
Voltron.
To give it up.
Voltron.
Oh, I'm going to pick Sargeras.
Sargeras is awesome, too.
I think there are D-gens in the Hearthstone community, and I think they're going to unite behind Sargeras, and they're going to push him to victory. So, like, that's where I'm putting my packs, personally. Now, I don't want to be evil and, like, you know, anybody listening to this podcast is going to be like, Shmoopy makes a good point. I'm also going to pick Sargeras and thus make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, but I'm not evil like that. I'm not evil in that way. But
have you never,
like,
summoned
at the same
Voltron,
time.
Though? Like, the music is so good, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you
the music's so good. Yeah, we get it, Hydra. We get it. Okay. All right.
I didn't even think of that.
So true, though. So, Hydra, did you say you were also Voltron, or did you have a different...
I'm full Voltron, mostly because this one time in Bandcamp, Crip made, like, how to do Mimiron's head. Like, back in the day, he, like, made a video of how to pull off, like, getting Voltron. And I just made that my goal to do as much as possible because it was fun. And I remember climbing to, like, actually, like, rank 5 back in the day doing that to people. And, like, it wasn't that good of a deck. But doing it was so fun. So, yes, I'm Voltron all the way. And it's not even mage, right? Like, Voltron's actually, what is it, Paladin?
Rogue.
Who's Voltron? It's Rogue.
Yeah.
Not even mage, but yeah, I'm good with that too.
I'm a Titan. Whatever. We'll see.
Rogue.
Whatever.
Just happens to be one of my favorite classes. So there you go. Goes hand in hand. I'll take it. Even though Rogue, Mech Rogue.
There's synergy there. There's a card library. They could bring it back. Surely it's the nuts. What if they gave me?
Surely it's the nuts. Don't call me Shirley.
What if they gave like a swordfish adjacent thing to Rogue, but instead of adding attack, it added health, and you got a bunch of magnetized synergy. Would that be enough to push Mech Rogue over the edge? You've got the mana cheat.
You've got the mana cheat. I think the hardest thing that's going to be to replace is the South Sea deckhand. Having something with a rush in order to do so is not the same as something having charge, right? Charge. Like, you need something to be able to have charge, because you
can make Leroy a mech. Make Leroy a mech, and we're good.
Okay, but
SI7
okay,
Leroy.
Devil's advocate, though. Devil's advocate. Like, you have Avis and Wicked Stab and, like, all this burn and rogue. Like, you just run that instead of the South Sea, right? So, like, you'd run, like, Secret Passage, your dumb mechs, probably your weapon tutors, probably just Shiny Finder, your weapons, and then, like, you just play the dumb mech deck and you try to get there. I don't know. Just, like, maybe not. It, like, you could always, like, weave in, like, taunt, like, Bronze Gatekeeper, because that got buffed, and that's a good card, and, like, taunt's kind of good right now.
Taunt's kind of really good right now.
So, like, I don't know. Maybe that would be enough, but anyway, not worth spending much time on it. Just spitting into the, what could be? What fresh hell could await for us with a new expansion? Welcome to my world, Shmoopy Daddy.
Well, there is some place that is in the game already that is a bit of a prison itself. So Prison of Yogg-Saron is already in the game. That is a neutral legendary location. So neutral location, you can play it in anything. 7 mana, but you choose a character, cast 4 random spells, targeting it if possible. So, you know, if you're doing something with an AoE effect, you can't target the face with that. But if you're doing like a pyroblast, that targets wherever you choose your opponent's face.
Yes. Or draw. Listen, they're close to fatigue. You choose, like, there's a million draw spells in Hearthstone. If they're close to fatigue, or if they have a hand with a high volume in it, you target and you're like, all right, I'm gonna target you you're gonna draw a bunch of spells. Or it's like, I'm gonna target myself because I really need healing, or I'm gonna target you because I think I can get you a little bit of damage. Like, it's an interesting card, and I think it's gonna be one of those cards that's like, it's not good enough for the spikes to take it seriously, so you're gonna immediately see it like thrown in the dumpster. But I think your typical spike often undervalues like the total card category, like catalog, and like what is there and what the odds are and when to play certain things. So I think it'll have some utility, but it's a lot of mana, isn't it? What is it? 7?
7. It is 7 mana. But
there's a reason why it's 7 mana. Like, it's a strong effect.
Yeah,
I mean it'd be toxic if it was less.
It's a mini Yogg that you can do 3 times. You pay 7 mana once, and then you can do Yogg effects 3 times.
They don't want this to be a good card. Want a neutral card for once to be like, okay, this is kind of a meme. Goliath is asking who is a spike. This goes back to like the old Magic the Gathering logic. Like, there's 3 types of players. There's a Timmy who likes like big flashy plays. Something could be good, something could be bad, but if it's big and flashy, they kind of like it. Like, they'd like to win with something big and flashy.
Drakefire Amulet Mage.
Yeah, Drakefire Amulet Mage is a great example. Jimmy is aggro. Jimmy can be aggro, because aggro can be like, oh, I won on turn 4. Look at me. Jimmy is aggro? Jimmy is not aggro. Jimmy is combo. Jimmys are like the people who are like coming up with like the big combos. Or no, Johnny. Those are Johnnies. Oh my god.
Their names attributed.
Don't read chat. There's Timmy, Johnny, and there's Spike. Okay? There's Jimmy, Johnny, Spike. Timmy, Johnny, Spike. Timmy is the big goofball. Johnny is the combo nerd. Spike is just like, I don't care what's good, just give it to me and they die. Like, that's what I want. Like, and so
I
want to
win the video game.
I want to win the video game. So, like, your 11 Xers are, like, in most cases, are, and most players are a combination of those, right?
Yeah.
So like everybody's got like a little bit of Spike. Everybody's got like a little bit of Timmy. Everybody's got a little bit of Johnny, and you're just going there. So it's like I don't think the Spikes will ever take the location seriously. I think the Johnnies will sniff it and be like, this is interesting. This may be worth, this may not be worth. This is very situational. And the Timmies are like, yes, please. New toy. And then you just jam it in every deck.
If this wasn't neutral, I would be playing this in all of my Twist decks right now.
Yeah, I wish back in like 1996 or so, I had a friend who tried to get me into MTG and was like, here's some cards, let's play a game. Even gave me a deck and was like, let's go. And I was like, you want me to read? Like, no. And like, stupid idea, should have done it. So I'm not going to claim to know too much about Magic other than playing Magic Arena. Shwoopy Daddy, your hand is raised.
So like Sheep said something sort of offhand, and I think like it actually resonates and makes sense. If this is neutral, if we were allowed neutrals, I'd just jam into my Twist deck. Like, this is going to be a kind of card that like you look at when it comes to Twist every time there's a new Twist, because if they are hard coding the game modes that discovers are very, very like specific, and the pool is a very much a certain way, like it could legitimately become like a finisher in a Twist deck. It was just like, well, there's no healing in the pool, so it's just like it's all damage or it's all draw or it's all this. Like it could become like a control tool if it's all like healing and draw, or just like mostly healing, some draw, or it just, you never know where, like, if they're going to be hard coding the game mode this way, like something specific like this is not as good as a discover, but this is discover adjacent where it's not as controlled, but it could be significant.
And this is also why I did edit the intro to Wild and Wild Adjacent, because I feel like we're going to be talking about Twist whenever we see new cards like this in relation to what the current Twist is.
Oh yeah.
What the ramifications can be for future ones. I don't think we can kind of avoid talking about that going forward, which I think is kind of cool. So, just to tie a loop around those two.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, I actually remember back in my day when Duels was announced, I remember talking to Nate and being like, hey, Duels is Wild Adjacent, right? Like it is. We had a discussion saying, do we want to cover Duels? And so we had decided for the first couple episodes that's what we were gonna do, is we were gonna cover it, and like, you know, let's see how this goes. And unfortunately, not many people play Duels. And people do, but nobody talks about it, right? Like, there are people that play Duels and people don't talk about it. I have a different feeling about Twist. I do think that this is different. At the time, I did think Duels was going to take off. I honestly did. But I do think Duels is different because standard people are looking at it. Wild people, they gave us like, here you go, have fun. Here's your star bonus, right? And I think it's the shakeup that this game that has basically been around for 10 years since the beta started, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's the shakeup constructed players need. Absolutely need, right? Because
And I think constructed is kind of the key word there, right? Because I think what kind of kept us from pursuing Duels a bit further was that, and it's one of the things that I really like about Duels, but it's also the thing that keeps me from playing it more whenever I'm playing on mobile. Like, oh, I'm playing just in bed before, you know, like after putting the kiddo to bed, like, okay, I'm on my phone. I don't know what I'm going to be playing whenever I push the Duels button, right? Like I get offered four things and then I have to build it, which means that I'm often like, if I'm researching what's good, et cetera, versus this is another constructed game mode. With the latter, I mean, we already kind of dipped our toes, I feel like, towards the end of Classic without knowing that Classic was going away. I mean, we we've all hit legend in classic on the podcast, right?
Yeah,
sir.
So we've already dipped our toe into that, and that's just because it's another button on the constructed game mode, and this will be one that we can kind of pursue and follow in relation to
Staz.
The what?
Did you see Stazari's post on the Discord? He makes note that, like, and I'm sorry for anybody who listens who has OCD. He makes note that, like, on the achievements page for Classic, there's still a spot for, like, hit Legend in Classic. And that hasn't gone away with Classic changing to Twist. So if you have that empty, I'm sorry. Unlucky.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They can't visit that page ever again. That page is for
watching. First page. God, I'm not quite to my 20,000 win achievement yet. I'm almost there. I'm getting close. But
I know I'm not close to that. You have like double. I've got like 12,000 or something.
I think I'm 25. Yeah. I'm almost 25.
I'd have to look, but there I don't have that.
Yeah, but across all servers, you have to be.
Yeah.
Across all servers, really.
Yeah, that's different.
That's the thing.
It's different, but it's the same. The thing is, like, it's there. Anytime Hydra's just like, yeah, I've never done something. I haven't gotten to this point yet. I'm just like, yeah, but Hydra, you're playing across, like, six different servers. Like,
I've got, like every time there's a wild meta, I have the decks on all the servers. I have them all.
Yeah.
Like, other than some crazy Reno priest that's running all legendaries, like outside of stuff like that, right? Like, I have all of the meta.
I'm going to be real right now on the podcast. Like, of all the players that I play against or have played, like, Hydra is the one that gives me the most agita when I'm planning against him, because I have no idea what he's capable of. Because, like, I like, he never gets a high star bonus, but at the same time, like, he's plugged in enough that he knows what all the meta decks are. He's competent with all the meta decks. And also, like, he plays enough to maintain them across a bunch of different servers at, like, a reasonable rate. So it's like, I have no idea where this guy belongs. I don't know where to put him, in what box to put him. Like, I don't get it.
And speaking of a reasonable rate, with the exception of his NA account, and one notable exception when he accidentally pre-ordered on a different server, the other servers are free to play. Like, he said that he maintains the meta decks. He does it free to play on two of the three.
And he smurfs it. And he just does it all the time. And yeah. He's good at it.
Sheep, can I say something? The time that I accidentally pre-ordered, and it was on Asia.
That's fun.
I know that. And I know that I've never spent the dust. I still have it all. I have, like, well over, it's like, it's not a lot for a free to play account, quote unquote. There's like 10,000-15,000 dust on that server. So
that's pretty good.
I actually have not ever spent that dust that I actually spent money on. Right. So all my duplicates were dusted from the one time I screwed up. And I haven't spent the dust. So it's, other than the fact I did get most of the expansion by a misclick, it's still mostly
and that was one time, very clearly not a, like, he maintains that, like, the other two are, with that one exception, just completely free to play.
Just to highlight Hydra for a minute. Because it's like, oh, Swoopy Daddy's getting 11x. Oh, Sheep is getting 12 wins in the Brawlyseum, right? Like, no, it's like, no, Hydra can play too. Okay, let's remember.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
I'm a 10x player. I'm not an 11x player. I probably will never be an 11x player. I could do it if I really set my mind to it, but I don't know if I want to be honest.
Why would you want to?
I don't know if that's where I want to put my energy.
Mm-hmm.
No shame to people that do, because good on you. Like me, I don't want to beat my freaking head against the wall doing it. Like, Schmoopy Daddy is trying to grind a legend on 2x right now.
and 4 days or less.
I am fine. I am fine with 10 stars.
Like, yeah.
Hitting legend to me, like, somewhat regularly is good enough for Mr. Hydralisk. I am fine with that.
And at the end of the day, as long as you're engaging it with it in a way that you were enjoying, like, hey, that's why you keep on playing the game. That's how I play it too.
Maintaining like 9 accounts, it's okay. Like, that's what you're like. I'm just saying.
There are times that I don't hit it, and it's been mm-hmm. it's been a while since I didn't hit it, but that does happen because I just like meh.
Yeah,
like, for the longest time, dude, getting your like, remember. Like when we would get our golden epic or whatever.
Yeah.
Like for rank 5, I'm like, why would I go for legend when the big reward is already at rank 5?
Like, right.
There's no point in going any higher. All right.
But you can have a little amber cube with some numbers in it.
I know, right? So it's like, well, I got to stop here and play Mech Mage.
And it's a blast.
And that was before Mech Mage. Well, that was when Mech Mage was good, and then in the middle ground, and then Mech Mage came back. But I played Mech Mage when it was bad. It was actively a bad deck. I was
based Hydra, based as the Zoomers would say, based.
Oh, dude, I ran Blinktron. That is a horrible card. And I did it because I got a golden weapon out of it, and it was weapon hate. Like, it was just so
honestly. Cesari scammed me with a Blinktron. That word is verboten for me. I plead the fifth. I will exit this podcast. Good night. See you later.
Well, in order for you to exit this podcast, Mr. Schmoopy Daddy, I gotta say, I don't have a button for this, and I think I know the right person to sing it. Take it away, Schmoopy Daddy, for some unrelated advice music.
I have to think about what does the unrelated advice music sound like again?
Da, 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 da. And now, unrelated advice.
Don't even give him a hint. Let him make it up himself.
I'm just going to make up my own unrelated advice music? Fine.
Yeah.
Sure. Even better. Yes.
da, 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 da. Unrelated advice with Schmoopy Daddy.
welcome to Unrelated Advice with Daddy, apparently. So, Mr. Daddy, at work, I work with some pretty fit people, okay? Okay. And you told me about your soccer game you played a while ago, where, yes. You know, you had some competition. You were brought back, right? Like, you were playing mm-hmm. in some sort mm-hmm. of alumni game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So... that I feel that way at work. So I work with this guy, and he's about the same height as me, maybe like an inch taller, I'm gonna say, but he outweighs me by a good 50 pounds.
Okay.
But like a good 50 pounds.
A good 50 pounds. So he's a muscle man, right?
Okay. Yeah.
This guy, we've got a 7K loop that we've been trying to run at work. Okay, the 7K loop to do on your lunch hour, right?
Sure.
He can do it in 45 minutes. I Googled this stuff, okay? 7 kilometers is apparently average is 45 minutes. Blows my mind. I cannot do it. I cannot. It takes me the full hour. This guy who outweighs me by like 40, 50 pounds beats me by 15 minutes, right? It takes me the entire hour. So what I've learned from this is even though... like I appear to be in somewhat good shape, my cardio is straight. I need to know how to fix it. And you are my guy because you were the alumni oldest member who played in the soccer game.
I was not the oldest member. The oldest member was like probably a guy in his 50s who's in better shape than me. I drank 2 beers on the sidelines. Between GIFs.
So what you're saying is we need to find him to ask this question.
Yeah, so what I'm looking at is, like, I'm trying to do, like, the quick maths here. Like, what was his mile time? Like, that's like, that's okay, like,
so 7K is like, what, like 4.5 miles?
He was doing, all right, Hydra, my man, my boy. All right.
Yeah.
So if my numbers are right, he's doing like, a sub 6 mile time. Like normally, okay. All right, you live in Canada land, so you live with different numbers than me. But in America, when we play gym, when we do physical fitness to stay in touch with my coworkers, when we do physical fitness, right, and we have to run the mile, a good time for Americans is like 7.5 minutes. That's not fast. A better time for people who are actually trying, and we're talking 1600 meters for you in Canada numbers. And I'm memeing here. I actually like the metric system better than the American system, but I've got a bit going, so I'm going to keep it going. Right. So for you in Canada land, right. So for like a 1600 meter distance, like 6 minutes is decent for somebody who's trying, but they're still not good if they're fast. Your boy is doing it, if my calculations are right, in like 5.8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They are borderline a decent distance runner. So what you're going to need to do, if you want to be better than them at distance running, is you're going to need to go back in time, find a time machine, go back, climb in, and all that time that you were doing your skater boy thing, run instead. So like instead of a half pipe, get on a track and just start jogging. And so the time that you would have been like doing the like Avril Lavigne like theme song or like posing in that one music video, you should have been running. And then you would have been
Sheep has to say here.
Better at it than him.
I think that your conversion might be off though.
Oh, is it? Is it, how bad
so
is it?
7K is 4.33 miles.
Yes. No, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, 4.34. Yeah. 4.35-ish miles for 7 kilometers.
Actually, Sheep's a better runner than me, so you should have asked Sheep.
Now, I will say, hold on. I'm gonna counter the skater boy thing here. I have never been in better shape as when I skateboarded all the time. I think it's underrated how great an athlete skateboarders are.
Well, it's all core and balance muscles, right? Like you're constantly you constantly have to do micro adjustments, and it's like the ground is not always uniform. And I don't think people realize either how much a skateboard is not like flat. Right, like, because there's a lot of like wiggle to your skateboard. I know if that's adjustable or not, but like how much wiggle you want. I can speak to that.
You can tighten what is called your kingpin on your truck.
Okay,
and that is how you address what you have called the wiggle.
Okay, the technical term, the wiggle. Yes. Okay. Yes. More wiggle. Let's say that's just working your core more. Like, I'm sure you were skateboarding, you had an easy six pack because you were just like constantly like you were on one of those balance balls basically permanently
at all times. Yeah.
At all times while also breaking
and in
form,
motion,
which is like excellent. Yeah. And in motion. Yes, so, okay. So let's say we don't have a time machine. I'm going to pull a mulligan.
Can I say one more thing?
Because you're the runner. You're the runner.
I need to add one more statistic to this thing. Okay,
sure.
My opponent is 8 years younger than me. They are 29 and I'm 37. So that's a factor as well.
So what I would say is just like start doing distance, focus on distance rather than like time. Time will come with reps. Time will come with like whenever you're, you know. So a 7K again is like 4 miles for 4.33 miles for, you know, us miles peoples.
You guys got to get with the rest of the world, man.
I agree.
Sheep's wrong. Sheep's right. I was off. Right. So Sheep, I did 4 1/3 miles divided by 0.75. So that's 45 minutes of an hour, right? That gives me 5.73 repeating.
Based.
Before I had 5.83 repeating. So I got the right time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're doing like a, like for each 4 miles, they're doing like a little under a 6 minute mile. They're
So if it's 45 minutes, if I'm running a 10 minute mile after 40 minutes, then I've done how many miles?
I don't know, sheep.
Four.
This many.
So after 50 minutes, I will have done 5 miles.
Yeah.
If I'm running a 10 minute mile. So an extra third is not going to be like a whole like 5 minutes.
How long are their miles? How long are their miles?
So I don't know the exact conversion to miles per hour, but it's definitely not six.
No, it's wiser words. It was a six minute mile. Oh my god.
It's definitely not a 6 minute mile.
And you heard that on Born to Be Wild.
Born to Be Wild.
It's definitely not a 6 minute mile.
I had to do it.
I'm thinking about it, you're right.